I need to be honest that it's quite humbling standing up here speaking in front of some old friends or parents' friends, particularly Rabbi Jacobowitz and Mrs. Jacobowitz, whose home I spend many Shabbos afternoons, Sunday afternoons, playing Rummy Cub with Moshe Chaim, or Spit, or War, or basketball one-on-ones. He had this great left. He's a lefty. He is a lefty. He had a great drive to the basket, almost impossible to stop. So I only have the fondest memories in their home, the home I felt very comfortable going to often. So they should continue to see nachas from their children, grandchildren, Amei Ve'eshem. And it's a great privilege and honor to be here in Torah Or in Boca. I saw many of the shiurim and lectures that take place daily and weekly here. So you should continue to grow here in your learning, your tefillah, your mitzvahs and chesed. And we should all be zochet to see this Beis Knesset among all the Bati Knessios throughout the world. Reunite in Yerushalayim with the coming of Mashiach, the Gula Shem HaBemitas V'Her V'Amein V'Amein V'Amein. I want to discuss what I find to be a very major theme throughout all Sefer Shemos. There's a message that we could all take home with us, and this message is really captured in just one word. It's one word that appears only a few times throughout all of Sefer Shemos. But it's a word that carries with it an impactful message for each of us in our growth to come closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. And the word is tzava, tzava, an army. Soldiers. Now the first time this word appears in all of Tanakh, if you look in source number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Beinu how Paro is going to be relentlessly stubborn. He's not going to give in. He's not going to send out the Jewish people. And the Pasuk tells us in Parashat Va'era, source number one, V'lo yishma aleichem Paro. The Paro is not going to listen to you. V'nasati es yodi b'mitzrayim. Hashem says, I'm going to extend my hand on Mitzrayim. V'hotseisi es tzivosai. I'm going to redeem. I'm going to take out my tzivosai, my army. Es ami b'nei Yisrael, my nation. Am Yisrael. This word tzivosai seems very premature. Bnei Yisrael cannot have been further from being an army at this very stage. To call them soldiers, they were slaves. They weren't trained. They weren't built like soldiers. Tactics, strategy, military understanding. It's like telling your six-year-old child or grandchild, go out and get a job. At 6 years old, a child cannot get a job. Write a resume. Go make some money. Go do something productive. Klai Yisrael have been in slavery for a number of years now. To expect them to go from slaves to soldiers with strength, might, they lacked that mental and spiritual strength that you need to be a soldier, to be tzivosai, to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu's army. They weren't equipped to fill that role. There's something we have that psychologists use, a term, that's applied in life, in parenting, in grandparenting. It's called labeling. You give someone a label. You give someone a title. You give them something to strive for. You tell your child, he's studious, she's smart. And they begin to think, maybe I really am smart. You tell them they have a nice smile. They begin to think, maybe I do have a nice smile. They feel proud about themselves and they begin to smile more. You tell a child how handsome, how pretty they look. Maybe I do look pretty. Maybe I do look handsome. Growing up in Teaneck, I know Rabbi Jacobowitz and Mrs. Jacobowitz heard this before, but it's so appropriate to say once again, I spoke this topic last year, around this time, in my shul, And when I went to the Jacobitz home, Rabbi Jacobitz would call me a tzaddikul. Now trust me, he might tell you otherwise, but I was not a tzaddikul by any means. But in the Jacobitz home, I was a tzaddikul. That much I tell you, I think. Because he called me a tzaddikul. I felt like maybe I could be a tzaddik, at least in the home of the Jacobitzes. And I tried to live up to that expectation in their house, because they gave me that title. My parents also gave me very nice titles as well. But in the Jacobitz home, I felt like I was a tzaddik, because in the presence of Rabbi Jacobitz, he would always call me a tzaddik. That made me feel proud, accomplished, a target, a goal I wanted to aspire to become. When you give someone a title, you give someone a compliment, you build them up. You give them strength, energy. And there are two ways to compliment. You could compliment someone on their actions that they do, or you could compliment who they are as a person. For example, let's say a woman makes a delicious chicken soup. Your wife, your friend makes a delicious chicken soup. So you could say that chicken soup was delicious. It tasted, the salt is perfect with the carrots. Or you could say, you are an incredible chef. You see the difference? You could describe their actions or you could describe the person. You could tell a student, you did really fine in that test. Great mark. Or you could say, you're really smart. You're really studious. You could tell your husband or wife or your friend how that suit, that tie looks really nice. Or you could say, you look very handsome. You look very pretty. When you describe the individual, you've labeled the individual, you've just built them up. It's a very different compliment when you describe the person than when describing their actions. Sometimes in life you have to give discipline. You have to give constructive criticism. People don't know they're doing things wrong. When you're raising a child, a grandchild, a student, you have to tell them this is wrong and this is right. So you can say to them, you are being disruptive, or you could say that behavior is disruptive. If you tell a child that they are disruptive, that could kill an individual, it could crush a person. But if you describe the actions as disruptive, you're not disruptive, your actions are disruptive, so then they know that they're still someone who's a tzaddikul. They could just fix and take care of those disruptive behaviors. But there's still someone who could accomplish. So when it comes to build someone up, to give them that goal to achieve something, you label them something positive. When you're trying to remove a bad behavior, you describe their actions. What HaKadosh Baruch was doing at this moment, when he told Moshe, "Votzeis Sivos, I'm going to take out my army," they were not soldiers yet. They weren't equipped to be soldiers. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood, he called them, "You're my army. You're the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." So then you begin to think, well, maybe Taka I am. Maybe I really am a soldier of Hashem. Maybe I'm not just a slave of the Egyptians. Maybe I can make myself into a soldier serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not equipped, I'm not trained to be a soldier. But if he called me a soldier, if Hashem called me a tzivosai, I could get to that point. I could strive to that goal of being tzivosai. This word tzivosai appears in a very strange context. The pasuk tells us, look at source number 2 for a moment. Source number 2 tells us, when it's describing in the next few parshas, we're going to learn about the Mishkan and the various utensils and kelim that appear in the Mishkan. And one of the utensils in the Mishkan was the kior, the sink. And the sink that was used in the Mishkan was made of mirrors. Mirrors that the women, the nashim tzidkaniyos, would use to make themselves look pretty. So look what the pasuk says. The pasuk throws in a very strange word. Number 2, it says, "Vayas is a kior nechoshes." They made that sink out of copper. Veskano nechoshes, which was the basin that held the water. Bimaros, mara is to see. Maros are referring to the mirrors. But the Torah doesn't stop there. It calls the mirrors bimaros hatsovos. The mirrors of soldiers, the mirrors of armies. Bimaros hatsovos ashetsovov. How would you interpret the word maros tsovos, mirrors of soldiers? So Rashi tells us what I just described to you. The men were slaves. The men were weak. They were giving up. We can't continue like this. But the women got up every single morning. They looked themselves in the mirror, in the maros. And they said, I am a tselem elokim. I am made from the image of God. I am tsovos. I am of the army of a Kadosh Baruch. Sometimes we feel down. We don't feel like we have the ability. We feel weak. But when you look yourself in the mirror and say, I am Tzelem Elokim, I am of the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you could accomplish anything in the world. These mirrors were Maros HaTzovos, were mirrors that the women looked inside, that they told themselves, I am of the army of Hashem. Yaakov also struggled. We could go back a number of parashas. Yaakov Avinu also struggled with being lonely, a place of darkness, all by himself. He was running away from his brother Esav. His parents sent him away, run far, far away. He had no strength, no family, no support. And he falls asleep, as we know, on Har HaBayis, Makom HaMikdash, the place where the Beis HaMikdash is, all by himself. And what happens when he wakes up? Look at source number 3. He recognizes something. Vayikat Yaakov Mishnaso. Yaakov wakes up from his slumber. Vayomer, he says, Achein Yish Hashem B'Makom HaZeh. Achein is a very strange word. They interpret the word Achein to mean behold. Hashem is in this place. Hashem's here with me. Vanochi lo yadati, but I didn't know. The message that he needed to hear when he was all alone was that Hashem is with you wherever you go. But listen to this amazing idea I heard. Around 20 years ago, growing up in Teaneck, I would have every Shal Shudas at a good friend, Mikey Richmond's house. They lived around the corner from the shul, so the number of us college-age boys would go to their house for Shal Shudas. And Josh Richmond, who was a year older than me, he shared a Dvar Torah around 20 years ago that he heard from Rav Moshe Weinberger 20 years ago, who I, at the time, obviously didn't know. He'd be my Rebbe, my boss. So he shared the following idea. You know what it means, Achein, in the Pasuk here, that when he said, Achein, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, right above the place of the Mikdash, there's what the Pasuk describes as a Kisei HaKavod, the throne of honor, the throne that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you will, sits on. Whatever that means. It's not a real kisei, not a real chair, but there's a throne. And the Pesukim in Yechezkel describe that the four legs of this throne have four different images. And the Gemara talks about this. So there is an aryeh, a lion, a picture of a lion. There's a kruv, like the kruvim, a baby's face. There's a nesher, an eagle. So the word Achein has the letters Aleph, Chaf, and Nun. Aleph stands for Aryeh, a lion. Chaf stands for Kruv, a baby's face. And the Nun stands for Nesher, an eagle. So Yaakov says, Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, Achein. I was very aware of three of the legs. The Aryeh, the Kruv, and the Nesher. V'anochi lo yadati, Anochi, Yaakov Avinu, was the fourth image. She was the fourth leg. I didn't know Anochi Leyadati. I didn't know I was the fourth leg. Anochi, look at the letters Anochi, stands for Aleph is Aryeh, Nun is for Nesher, Chaf is for Kruv, and Yud is for Yaakov. Anochi Leyadati. I didn't know I was the fourth leg. This was the message that Yaakov Avinu had to hear when he was all alone by himself. The problem with this pshat, when you look in the Gemara Chagiga, it tells us the fourth leg wasn't actually Yaakov Avinu. It was Adam. It wasn't Yaakov. It was Adam HaRishon. So I think the answer is that fourth leg was actually a mirror. It was Maros Tzovos. When the Gemara says Adam was the fourth leg, it doesn't mean Adam with a capital Aleph, if you will. It meant the Aleph with a lowercase. Adam, man, woman, human. It's a mirror. Whoever looks at that fourth leg, it's an image of you. So when Yaakov was looking at that mirror, he saw himself. And when you look at the mirror, you would see yourself as well. Vanochi liadati, I didn't know that I am able to reach the legs of the Kisei Akavo. That same mirror, that Maros Tzovos, that the women in Mitzrayim looked at themselves to build themselves up, is that same mirror that I'm suggesting Yaakov Avinu looked at as well. There's a story that I heard recently about a man who was sitting on a park bench and his head was leaning into his hands, all down and upset. And there was another man running through the park and saw this individual who was having a hard time. He was crying. And so he sat down next to the stranger on the park bench. And he says to him, "Is everything okay?" And he says, "Not really. Nothing's going well for me. Parnassa, Shalom Bayis, every problem you could imagine this individual was going through. My children don't respect me because I can't hold on to a job." And the individual says to him, "What do you do?" And they had a conversation. And the individual said, "I really could see from what you're saying, you're a very capable individual. I'm not sure if you ever heard of me before, but my name is Warren Buffett. And I trust in you, and I'm going to write out a check." And he wrote out a $1 million check to this stranger on the bench. And I know, he said, Warren Buffett said, "I know in a year from now you'll be able to pay me back that full loan." So he takes the $1 million check and goes home. He makes a phone call, makes a deal. He makes another phone call. Weeks, months pass. After 6 months, he's accrued the $1 million. He opens up his desk drawer with a check he never cashed. He was too scared to cash that check, not being able to pay it back. A full year goes by, he doubles the amount of money he made. Goes back to that park bench, sits down that same place, this time his head held up high. Warren Buffett's coming through the park, going for a jog, sits down next to him. "How'd it go? How was the past year?" He says, "It was incredible. And you know what? I didn't even cash your check. Here's the check back." And Warren Buffett tells him how proud he is of him, and he goes off jogging away. A few people in that park go over to this individual who just made millions of dollars and says, "You know that guy?" He says, "Yeah. That guy's Warren Buffett." He says, "He's not Warren Buffett. There's an old age home over there. He tells everyone he's Warren Buffett. Did he also give you that $1 million check?" But the point is, because someone believed in him, he was able to believe in himself. It's about that confidence that you have in yourself, the confidence that you have in others. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, was arguing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that "I didn't want to go. I'm not fit to be the leader. I'm not the one to redeem them from Mitzrayim. It's not me." And listen to this incredible Chavetz Chaim. Look at number three, source number three, four rather. Vayomer, Moshe Rabbeinu just sees the burning bush. He sees the sneh. And he hears the voice come out and says, "Al tikrav halom, don't come any closer. Stop where you are. Stop right there. Shal ma'alecha me'al raglecha. Remove your shoes. Ki amakom, the place where you are, asher ata omed alav, is admas kodesh. Stop, don't come closer, and remove your shoes." Asks the Chavetz Chaim, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Stop right over there, don't walk any closer, because closer is Kedusha, where you're standing is fine, Why then does he say, oh, take off your shoes where you're standing also? You hear the question? He says, stop, don't come closer, I'll tikrav halom. Don't come closer, here's Kedusha. And there, remove your shoes. Why? If you're allowed to stand there, that means there's no Kedusha. Why remove your shoes? Says the Chafetz Chaim, the most incredible message that Moshe Rabbeinu also had to hear. He says, there are certain places in this world that have objective Kedusha, where the Kedusha is so clear. A Beis Knesses, the Makom HaMikdash, yeshivas, schools, these places are Makom Kedushas. And then there's everywhere else in the world where you may not see the Kedusha. But sometimes you have to shalom alech, you have to remove your shoes. You have to remove your mask. You have to remove the covering because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere you go. There's Admas Kodesh. But all it takes is a little bit of confidence. Moshe Rabbeinu needed the confidence that he's able to shalom alech. Take off those shoes. Remove all the separations. Expose the Kedusha that is everywhere, because everywhere you go, not only in a shul, not only in yeshiva, but every step that you take is actually Admas Kodesh. There's a story I heard a few years ago. There's a camp up in New York called Camp Cayley. Heard of Camp Cayley before? So Camp Cayley, this goes back 5 years ago, there was a camp, rather there's a van traveling from Cleveland to Camp Cayley. Along the way, there was some smoke coming out of the van, the hood of the van. So the driver, a very responsible driver, pulled over. There were a number of kids in the back. He asked the kids to step out of the van and to step away while he fixes the hood of the car. He opens up the hood, makes a number of adjustments, slams the hood back down, and they continue on their way. Moments later, smoke begins to come out of the van once again, but this time a lot of smoke. And he told the boys to get out, but not only to get out of the van, run. Run for your life. And they ran for the life, and the van, Baruch Hashem, no one was hurt. The kids ran away, but the van, including all their clothing, bags, tefillin, were all burnt. So they sent another van, picked up the boys, and they bought new clothing and tefillin and everything that they needed. 2-3 days into camp, all the boys adjusted nicely, except for one. There was one boy on that van who wanted to go back home to Cleveland. They tried talking to him, and he wanted to go back home to his parents. So Rabbi Eli Brazil, who is the director of the camp, whom I know, he said, before you go back, I want you to speak to our best counselor before you make any final decisions. So he had him speak with another Rebbe who I know, Rabbi Benji Renoff. And Renoff took this boy out to Walmart to buy him some toys and to break the ice a little bit. And they were sitting on the bench. And Rabbi Renoff asked this young boy, around 13 years old, I understand it was very scary. The van that blew up went into flames. In the end of the day, you're fine. All your friends are fine. You lost things that we were able to replace. So why don't you want to stay? The boy looks down and says, because I'm the one who said Tfilas Haderech. This is all my fault. And without the blink of an eye, Rabbi Renoff says, it's because you said Tfilas Haderech that nothing happened to any of the boys. Imagine what would have happened had you not said Tfilas Haderech. And with that quick thinking, the change of perspective, he felt proud. I actually saved the day. From one moment thinking he was the cause of the destruction to thinking that he was the hero, and he was. He saved all the other boys that were in that van. Reb Tzadok HaKohen Milublin explains that just like there's a mitzvah to believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is every single place in this world, from the holiest of places to the least holy places, he says there's also a mitzvah to believe in yourself, that you're able to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single place HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists everywhere. It's just incumbent upon us to find it. To be shal na'alecha, to remove our shoes and to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there. There's a story I read in a book called Are You Connecting? By Rabbi Zev Lev. And he was writing word for word a message that his grandfather was giving to a grandchild's Ufruf, a message to his grandson at the Ufruf. It was the last public lecture that his grandfather had given. And he describes to his grandson at the Ofruf the following story. There was an 11-year-old boy who decided that he wanted to be the best baseball player in the world. He was very confident that with his constant practice, he could attain his goal. He got his parents to take him to the best sports equipment store in the city. He chose the best baseball glove, the best bat, the best ball, and the most professional-looking baseball uniform, cap, and shoes that the store had. The next day, he got up early in the morning, ready to begin his journey toward the beginning of the best baseball player in the world. He carefully donned his baseball uniform and went outside to the backyard. He adjusted and rubbed his baseball caps a few times. He held his bat high and took a few practice swings, imagining himself to be in the batter's box up at the plate. He took the baseball in his hand and was about to self-hit when he smiled and shouted, "I am the best baseball player in the world." He threw the ball up, expecting to see it soar off the bat. He swung hard and missed. Strike one. He was disappointed at first, but quickly regained his swagger. He took a few more practice swings, adjusted his cap, peered out to the distance, where he knew the baseball was going to fly. Once again, he took the baseball in his hand, was about to self-hit, when he smiled and shouted, "I am the best baseball player in the world." Threw up the ball, swung hard, strike two. Two strikes got him looking more despondent, but he got again his confidence back quickly. He took the bat and stepped out of the batter's box, trying to relax and get to his groove, just like the professional players do. After stretching with the bat a few times, he made his way back. Most definitely hit homer he knew he was destined to hit. After all, he was the world's best baseball player. He again took the baseball in his hand, smiled and shouted, "I am the best baseball player in the world." He threw the ball up in the air, swung hard, strike three. All the poise which he had was gone. His self-assured attitude, smile, and swagger were no more. He was saddened to the core with his face looking at the ground, total defeat. He needed to come to grips with it. But that didn't last long. Suddenly he looked up and shouted with a mischievous grin, "I guess I'm the best pitcher in the world." It's all about our confidence, understanding what we can accomplish in this world. Sefer Shemos, the Netziv explains, there's no second name for Shemos. Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer Yetzira. Vayikra is called Toras Kohanim. Bamidbar is called Pekudim. And Devarim is called Mishneh Torah. There is no other name for Sefer Shemos. It's called Chumash Sheni. That's all we find in Medrash. Chumash Sheni, the second Chumash. Not very exciting. The Netziv explains, because Chumash Sheni is a continuation of Sefer Bereishis. It's all one continuum. While Sefer Bereishis is a creation of the world, Sefer Shemos is a creation of a nation. I want to take it a step further, though. I was once at a chasana, this goes back a year ago, sitting with Moshe Weinberger. I was telling him how I was reading the biography about Rav Avram Pam and how enamored I was by what an educator he was. And Rav Weinberger told me that he had the zechus to meet him on two occasions. One occasion, he was invited to a special meeting amongst various mechanchim from different shuls, yeshivas, schools. And they were sitting at a table that was headed by Rav Palm. And Rav Palm opened up the discussion with the following question. He said to all the very well-seasoned mechanchim, what one word does every child, every student want to hear? And various suggestions were being thrown around the room. No one got the answer right. To which Rav Palm explained, they want to hear their name. That's all they want to hear, their name. Reuven, Rachel, Sarah, Shimon, Yaakov. They want to hear their name. What does that mean, they want to hear their name? Number one is they want to know that the Rebbe knows who I am. But number two is they want to have the Rebbe teacher know who they really am. Who they are, not just their name, but what's their essence? The name of a person. Understand me. Not just know me, but understand what makes me tick. What gives me my strength, my confidence, my abilities, my strengths, my weaknesses. That's what they want to hear from the Rebbe. That the Rebbe knows who you are. Sefer Shemot is not only a creation of a nation, but it's a creation of individuals. It's called Shemos names. Because we each have our own unique name, our unique goal, purpose in this world. From Bereishis to creating the world, from Shmos to creating a nation, to creating individuals. That we each have our own tafkid, our own role, our own accomplishments in this world that only I could touch and only you could touch. You can't take mine and I can't take yours. The very last public shiur Rav Palm gave, he was describing how we're going to read in a few weeks, a few months, that when Am Yisrael will enter into Eretz Yisrael with the Yoshua ben Nun, some house owners are going to find some tzaras, some white spots on their wall. And they're going to invite the Kohen inside their home to analyze that white spot. And they're going to tell the homeowner to break down that wall, make a hole, and you're going to find some treasures hidden below. So Rav Palm explains, imagine this. For a number of years, this Jew had lived in his house thinking of himself as a poor man. He could barely make ends meet. His outlook and desires were those of a poor man struggling to support his family. He hoped to provide his family with some bread on the table, the barest minimum. But little did he know that he was actually rich. He had this hidden treasure below his house all those years. Rav Palm, the great mechanech of our generation, explains that it's the same in spiritual matters as well. And especially important for Bnei Torah to know. A person has hidden treasures within his neshama, abilities of which he is unaware, or she is unaware. He or she thinks that he's incapable of attaining heights in Torah, in life, in other spiritual areas, because he's unaware of the untapped potential that lies within himself. I feel, says Rav Palm, that the obligation of a Rebbe, a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, not only to develop the abilities of a Talmud, but to reveal to him his own potential, to be shal na'alecha, to remove his shoes, and realize that wherever he goes, he could create Admas Kodesh. At every opportunity, he should praise the Talmud and tell him, praise the child and tell him, give him that label. You have great abilities, you have great potential, raise your aspirations and ambitions, and you will attain much, much more in your life. There's that hidden treasure that each person, each individual has within them, that's untapped, that we have to tap into our own selves, and tap into our friends, family, to build that true potential. There's a story, Rav Simcha Barim Pishitscha explains. There's once a Yid, Rav Isaacal. Rav Isaacal lived in Krakow, and he had this dream, a recurring dream. And in that dream, he had a vision that there was a hidden treasure below a bridge in Prague, which was quite a distance from Krakow. And after seeing the dream over and over again, he says, maybe I should just follow my dream. Maybe there's a hidden treasure below that bridge. And Rav Isaacal gets on the next wagon to Prague, and he sees the exact bridge that he was envisioning. The problem was, it was being policed by soldiers. And so he stood there and watched, imagined, had he won the lottery, what would he do with the millions of dollars? Had he found that treasure, what would he do? Would he buy a house in Florida and in Israel and New York? He sat and just stood and fantasized. And finally, one of the soldiers go over to Rav Isaacal and says, I see you've been standing here all day. Is there something I could help you with? So he says, well, you know, I had a dream about this bridge here in Prague. And in the dream, there was a treasure that's buried below the bridge. Any chance I could dig below the bridge? And the soldier started to laugh at him. You believe? You listen to your dreams? I had a dream also. You know what my dream was? There was some Yid who lived in Krakow. His name's Rav Isaacal. And below his oven, there's a treasure. You think I'm going to go to Krakow, find Rav Isaacal, and dig up his oven to find that treasure? You're crazy. Rav Isaacal says, thank you so much. Gets on the next wagon out of Prague to Krakow. He immediately goes home. His wife asks, what are you doing, as he begins to move the oven over. Digs below and finds a hidden treasure. And there's a shul in Krakow, which is called Rav Isaacal's shul, which supposedly came from this hidden treasure. Because he followed his dreams to bring out that true treasure, the untapped potential that each person has. So now to conclude, although Sefer Shemos uses the words Tzivosai, my army, my soldiers, he built up Am Yisrael that very moment. And when they were taken out of Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us in number 6, Vayihi be'etzem hayom hazeh, it was that day, the day that came of the Geula, of the redemption. Hotzi Hashem es b'nei Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us, me'eretz Yitzrayim al Tzivosam. That word Tzivosim is used once again because it was only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu believed in them. And that they believed in themselves that we are, in fact, the soldiers of Hashem, led to them to be Tzivosim. And although the word Tzivosim and Tzivosai are all used in Sefer Shemos as describing soldiers, army, Chana, the great matriarch Chana, use the word Tzivos as Tzivakos, Hashem's name. That same word. Where you believe in yourself, you have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. You believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to believe in yourself. Tzivosai can mean your own abilities, and Tzivosai can mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu's abilities. Says the Gemara number 7, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, quoting from the pasuk in Navi, Vatidar Neder Tomar Hashem Tzvakos, and Chana called out, Hashem is a Tzvakos, he's this great army, whatever you understand that to mean. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Miyom, from the day Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Es Olama, from the day that the world was created, Lahaya Adam, there was no man, Shekaru LaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzvakos, Ad Shebasa Chana V'Karasa Tzvakos. There is no one in the world who have ever used the word Tzava to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu until Chana came. Chana had an untapped potential. She knew she had it within her, someone special, a child that had to be born. And she called out HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzvakos to bring out that true potential. The idea, the message is that we have to realize wherever we go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, whether we could see him or we can't, but we have the ability to make him known. To make it Admas Kodesh, to remove the shoes, to be Shal Na'alecha. And so Chana goes on to explain how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein Kadosh Kashem, she says. There's no one as Kadosh as Hashem, ki ein biltecha, there's nothing like Hashem. And then she says, V'ein Tzur Kelukenu. Literally it means there's no rock like Hashem, but the Gemara says Ein Tzur means Ein Tzair. There's no artist like Hashem. So someone wants to ask Rav Elio Dessler, what does that mean? First we say, Ein Kadosh Hashem. There's no one as Kadosh. And you know what? He's also a great artist. You tell a person how what a great gadol Rav Soloveitchik was. He's a massive, gadol hador. You know, nukol tor kula. And you know what? He had a great handwriting. That's backwards. If you were to describe Rav Soloveitchik as having beautiful handwriting, and on top of that he's so kadosh, that would make sense. But to backpedal and say, ain't kadosh kashem, and he's also a very nice artist. What does Chana mean by that? So I'll finish off with this mashal Rav Dessler explaining the pasuk as follows. Rav Dessler said that there is once a big contest between the two greatest painters in the entire world. And they were given 6 months to paint the most fabulous painting that they could imagine. And in 6 months they'll come together, they'll present their paintings, and there'll be judges to see who wins this contest. So the artists get to work painting beautiful paintings. And finally the Yom HaDin comes, the day of judgment, the contest. So they're standing in this big hall. And you have two paintings on the wall, both covered in curtains. And the artists are standing next to their paintings, and the judges are there, and there's a big crowd coming to witness the big contest. So they ask artist number one to please take down his curtain. He pulls it down, and there's an incredible tapestry of trees, and their fruits, and the grapes, and their apples. And suddenly, the windows are open. Birds begin flying into the hall, and they start attacking the grapes and apples, because they thought that the grapes were real. They thought the apples were real. And everyone was amazed how real that this painting looked. And the judges wrote down their comments and their scores. And they turn now to artist number two. And they say, let's take a look at your painting. And he says, I'm out. I'm falling. You saw how good that first painting was? There's no way I could even come close to as good as that painting. I'm quitting. And they said, you work 6 months. Why give up now? At least show it to us. No, it's embarrassing. I'm not going to show it. I saw how good that... The birds thought the apples were real. They thought the grapes were real. I'm not going to even give it a shot. And they're going back and forth. And finally, artist number two says, I'll tell you what. If you want to see my painting, you take down the curtain on your own. So the judges go to take down the curtain. As they approach the rope, the string, they realized it was a painting of a curtain. And the judges said, they awarded the winner, artist number two, as the winner. Because while artist number one tricked the birds, artist number two tricked the judges. Says Rav Dessler, Ein Kadosh Kashem, there's one thing to be as kadosh as a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as holy as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But to be able to hide that to Kedusha and trick people, the Ein Sayer Kelokeinu, to put it in this tapestry, to make it look like it's all normal and natural, to hide the Kedusha, that's even harder to do. To hide the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore our role as Jews, to be Shalom Alecha, to take off the shoes, to take off the tapestry, the curtains, and to reveal the real hidden Kedusha behind ourselves, behind our friends, behind our family, and everywhere we go is full of Admas Kodesh. Thank you so much.